One thing I wanted to mention, I guess, is in the news a lot lately. If you're in banking, you notice it. If you're not in banking, you probably don't know or don't care. But bank mergers and acquisitions, I wanted to address that. We have three institutions here in town, banking institutions, that are going to be changing. For a town our size, three of them is quite a lot.
Yeah.
Flagstar is being acquired by a bank out of New York. New York Community Bank Corp is purchasing Flagstar. I understand that the name is going to remain the same, but that is a merger, well, an acquisition. And so not much change there. Huntington is merging. They're calling it a merger of equals, but Huntington will be the surviving bank. TCF and Huntington are merging. TCF just bought Chemical Bank, which had gone into Detroit in a big way, downtown Detroit. And so they will all become part of Huntington, which Huntington has a huge presence here in town. They are the old Citibank and Trust after several acquisitions and name changes. And Level One, what used to be the original Ann Arbor State Bank, was acquired by Level One. Level One is now being acquired. And so they're being acquired by an institution out of Muncie, Indiana, First Merchant Bank Corp. And so you will see some changeover with that one, with the rebranding and new accounts and all the other regulations that you need to go through when your bank is acquired or merges with another one.
So I wonder if that Level One location on Wisner is going to end up closing then.
I think that's their only presence in Jackson that I know of. Level One was a basically based out of Farmington Hills, was my understanding, and real strong in commercial lending from Ann Arbor eastward. I have not come across them too much since they've been here, at least in the commercial lending world. I know they have some mortgage people here in town, and but yeah, we. I wanted to mention those because I get asked all the time, the bank's on fire. You guys are growing at a record pace. When are you going to get acquired? And our president and CEO addressed that a couple of weeks ago at one of our employee meetings, that the board and he have no intentions of entertaining any type of merger or acquisition. For some time to come, and it's been that way ever since I've worked at the bank, is you got to remember we're headquartered in Hillsdale, and they're pretty independent, and so we intend to stay independent community bank, stick to our markets, Jackson, Hillsdale, Lenawee, Calhoun.
You must get approached, though.
You know, that would be above my pay grade.
Oh, so, okay. Good answer.
and thankfully, above my pay grade. It's not above my pay grade to make us attractive enough to be acquired, but yeah, that is something that I'm sure happens, but doesn't filter down to us. No. So
I'll put that in Waldron's Christmas card.
Put that in his question box. I believe we have. There is a lot of activity overall in the industry as technology becomes a bigger part of our industry. Are you big enough, or can you afford to continue to invest in technology and stay small? And that is the challenge we've had. Mm-hmm. We've chronicled it on the radio here for a good 15 years, as we're keeping pace with technology while still providing the service. Personal service. I asked,
what are the pluses and minuses of, you know, a smaller bank getting acquired?
Well, right after I was speaking to my credit analyst, who is 20, probably 25, 24 years old, I said, what is important to you about banking? And he said something that shocked me for his age group, is he said, I want somebody to talk to.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's simple as that. We offer somebody to talk to, the same person. You'll actually get our first, last name, and a direct phone number that you can follow up with that same person. And I believe I was talking to somebody's spouse the other day that works for us, and she hung up the phone in just as much frustration as I've ever seen, Therese. And she said, I think I was talking to somebody in India. And I asked to speak to their supervisor because she couldn't understand them. Mm-hmm. And she said, that guy had even a worse accent. And it was somebody locally here who have their phone calls probably routed to Bombay, India. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of the phone call centers are located. Mm-hmm. And so that's as simple as that. That is why we want to stay small, community-minded, and small enough to serve the customer, yet big enough to meet all of their wants and needs.
Yeah. So this weekend, I was in Nashville, and I happened to pass by one of the Chase bank locations. And I'm not exaggerating when I say there was one employee in there and three big, like, teller machines, you know, where they can do everything. And while that is great to have if, you know, maybe you're in a hurry or, you know, that's your kind of gig with doing your banking, but I thought, there's nobody in there. And I thought, how sad is that? Like, you completely took away all of the personal aspect of banking. I mean, when Beverly Holmes Carpenter was at our Horton Road branch, I mean, she taught me one of the best parts about banking and customer relationships. You know, when your customer walks in the door, hey, Tom, how are you doing? How are the kids? And that matters. You know, you form a relationship. It's a form of trust. And you know that that person is there for you if you ever have any banking issues. So.
It's still a people business in my book,
yeah.
Yet the bigger banks, the gigantic banks like Chase, are doing everything they can to automate their systems,
right,
and their delivery systems. And, hey, you got the convenience of banking on your phone. What better than that? Well, what happens when your phone,
right,
is not telling you what you want or telling you that your accounts have just been drained and taken, mm-hmm, by someone? What do you do then?
Right.
And 'cause that happens. Who do you call? Mm-hmm. And do you want to call India and fight through an accent and not have anyone really care about you? Or do you want to call your hometown bank or walk into your hometown bank and sit down and get some help? We may not always be able to resolve the problem, but at least you'll have the satisfaction that we tried as much as we could.
Right. You'll definitely have a champion in your corner. And I mean, you said it perfectly earlier. You know, County National Bank does a great job of merging the need for, you know, the ever-growing electronic banking needs, as well as maintaining that personal relationship piece. And a couple of things that I wanted to touch base on today, just to follow up from our conversation from last week, we were talking about different payment methods and, you know, what's best for making payments for your business, what's best individually. And, you know, it goes to nothing in the mail is, you know, very safe. When you're sending a check, it has all of your bank account information on that check, right? Your routing number, your account number, first and last name, your address, all of that information that a bad guy could pick that up and immediately replicate that check and, you know, cause fraud, whether it's in your individual account or whether it's in your business account. And so having different methods to send payments, both as an individual and a business, I think County National Bank does a good job of that.
I'm a huge fan of the bill pay. I think it's, yeah, the best innovation in banking in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And for me to be able to
note that down.
to pay my bills within probably a good 30 to 45 seconds,
yeah,
is probably about the appropriate time. Versus opening the mail, writing the check, putting it in the envelope, mm-hmm, and then driving somewhere to mail it, and to be prone to all those things you just said.
Yeah.
In today's world, you know, people are stealing far more money with the computers than they are with the guns.
Oh, yeah.
And when your information is out there, you're putting it out there for the bad guys, mm-hmm, to get. And,
yeah,
so bill pay is much safer, much more efficient, and you have a record of everything. If, mm-hmm, I need to go back, we were contesting the guy that mows my lawn. He said, hey, you didn't pay me in July. And I was able to look it up and say, yeah, I sent you this, mm-hmm, on this date. You cashed it this date. And,
yep,
you know, it was perfect. We figured it out. But to go back by the old way,
yeah,
and wait for my canceled check to come around, right, or to try to find that would be, yeah, very cumbersome.
Yeah. And I mean, another piece to that too is your bank statement. There's still quite a few people that get that physical bank paper statement in the mail. And again, you know, that's just more information for a bad guy that they could potentially get. And being able to do e-statements, I mean, so simplistic. It comes right to your email. You have complete access to it 24/7 through our online banking or even through the County National Bank app. I will say it's probably a a thing of the past to actually balance your checkbook each week, or not each week, sorry, each month. I know fewer and fewer people do that because you have your bank account information at the tip of your fingers, right? On your phone, on your computer. But still a great idea to negate as many of those paper statements that you receive, whether it's a bank statement or even like a credit card statement. Trying to go electronic with those to where you're just getting those through your email or through a passcode website is a better option than having that in the mail.
So if you are a customer of County National Bank, you are getting statements from us, you do want them to stop. How do you sign up for e-statements?
Sure. Very simply. So for an individual, you would just go on to your online banking. There usually it will prompt you if you haven't already, because we want you to sign up for e-statements. It's a lot easier method to get you your statement each month. But if you don't see that prompt, there's going to be a little tab on the right-hand side of our online banking that you can click on to sign up. And the same thing with business. When I do any kind of business online banking training, I make sure that I show our business clients where to go in and sign up for those e-statements. And again, pretty simplistic, a couple of clicks of the mouse and you're all set.
Okay, since we're talking about payment methods, maybe you can solve a problem for me.
Oh, great.
It's been a problem lately. It's not always a problem. So we're finishing up on 18, and we're figuring out our gambling winnings or losses, and somebody says, hey, I don't have any cash. Mm-hmm. How do I get paid?
So
they got their phone.
Yeah.
And I have my phone, yeah. As you know, and this is becoming more and more of a problem.
Yeah.
As I win, if I lose, it's not an issue. I mean, a lot of guys they're just not carrying cash.
Sure. Unless you're GOC.
This is a world crisis.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is.
So actually, I dealt with this problem in Nashville because we had that same thing. Every time we'd buy dinners or anything like that, how are we going to pay each other back? Well, the majority of us had Venmo.
Venmo.
I am a huge fan of Venmo. And County National Bank at one time had an option. But, you know, another thing that I love about CNB is that we know where our strengths are, and we know where our weaknesses are. And I'm telling you, Venmo has a lot of merit to it. It's instant payment. You can do it person to person. You can do it person to business, business to person, and it's instant.
Mm-hmm.
And all you need to do is set up a Venmo account, which is very simple and ask very basic information. And I usually recommend that you tie it to your debit card through your bank account, simply because if there is something fraudulent that happens, we also have an app that is attached to your debit card called Notify, where you can immediately turn your debit card on or off. So that could not go through if you find out that you sent, you know, a payment to someone through Venmo fraudulently.
Mm-hmm.
So you have an extra layer of being able to stop that. But when you're talking about how to split up a bill or pay bets, I would go through Venmo. It's very simple. It is safe. I mean, there's a lot of verification and authentication going into that to make sure that you are who you are and who you're sending it to.
So it is possible.
Yeah, it's possible.
I just have to get familiar with Venmo and teach them how to set it up.
I did help you with Bill Pay, and I
yes,
did help you with the app.
Years,
I am happy to help
ago.
You with Venmo,
years
too.
And years ago, yep.
So. No, but it's great. It's an easy way to exchange non-cash, I guess you could say. So.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Learn something new every day.
There you go. Yep. And another payment method, I know that GOC is a big fan of cash. Okay.
Yeah.
We still, I mean, that's pretty much our primary, you know, reason for some branches, right? Is, you know, cash, being able to exchange coin and other change for our local businesses. If you need to get cash out for traveling, which that's still, I mean, I would still recommend having some sort of cash on hand in case you have an issue with your card.
Mm-hmm.
It's still, there's a lot of great things that come with using cash. I mean, it's easier to budget for items, right? You're not just overspending by putting it on a card.
It's harder to spend cash as well.
Yeah.
I have found. And you actually doling out mm-hmm. 20s or 100s or 50s
right.
versus handing somebody a plastic card.
Yeah, that's true.
I got a quick question for you. I know we're running out of time here, but how often do you get asked about cryptocurrencies?
Oh, goodness, all the time. And, you know, I was the weirdest thing. I was just in Buffalo Wild Wings, and they have a Bitcoin ATM there.
Really?
Yeah. Learned something new there, too. I'm like, what in the world? But yeah, I heard there's a lot of people, a lot of talk about that.
Can you use the Bitcoin at Buffalo Wild Wings?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't have any, so I don't know.
Seems like if they had an ATM.
Right. I know that there's a lot of fraud that happens that includes some Bitcoin when it comes to if you have someone that goes in and, you know, hacks your email, takes over your server, that kind of thing. They usually will request Bitcoin as their payment in order to release
the ransom in Bitcoin as well. Yeah, big time.
And pretty much because it's a lot harder to trace.
I wonder what a Bitcoin ATM gives you. I didn't know Bitcoin had hard currency.
I have no idea. Maybe it's just not like, those are things that I probably need, you know,
we need to educate ourselves on this.
Yeah, on Bitcoin.
You're hearing more and more and more about it, but until you can use it universally, it's, that's just an idea to me right now.
Yeah.
So, but I was curious how many people are asking about that.
There are quite a few.
It seems to be gaining traction. Mm-hmm. So
I'm pretty sure that the value of that is up there pretty high right now, too. So, yeah, good to know. Well, if you have any questions about any of the different payment methods and signing up for e-statements and Venmo and all that stuff, feel free to get a hold of me at 782-5540.
Don't call Bill.
You can always call me at 768-0056.